What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
I just pulled up some stuff.
Yeah, there's probably like some good like tidbits about this one, I can imagine.
Is Kingsley, is he a Brit Jamaican? Is he one of those?
Is he Jamaican? Yes. Okay.
No, he's
but is
he's
he
British?
Yeah, I know, okay, but you know how like
but is he like, yeah, but is he Afro? Is he,
yeah, it's like a lot of Jamaicans in London. I just want to know if he's one of them.
That was the my main thing watching this was I was like,
Trinidad,
how many
and Tobago?
Okay.
Oh, his parents are Trinidadian. Okay, this makes okay.
But
this
that's
makes sense.
But is
I'm okay
that,
with that. That's close enough for me.
Yeah, that's
well, right. His grandparents are Trinidadian, but yes,
you know.
We start getting real specific.
Listen, it's close.
Right, hold on, but on which side?
It's close what kind I of thought black he was gonna is be?
His maternal grandparents.
Oh, okay,
that's what you want to know. He's pretty British. He's British.
Yeah, but are they all? Here's the thing. There's a lot of people in this, and I haven't done any. I haven't done enough research to say that I feel any type of way about this. But I will just say that I was skeptical watching the movie because I was like, a lot of British people popping up.
Well, you know, I guess I didn't have too much of a problem with it.
There was a lot of British people popping up.
Because when you think about it, like if you go to London, even if you listen to like John Boyega or like Danny Cuolo talk, like that in London right now, there's a definitely heavy influence of like Jamaican, Trinidadian culture where like, again, they say like bruv and a ting, like they just talk. It's a combination now, you know, like no one talks like Idris Elba, no offense. More people talk like, you know, so I wasn't mad at him, especially once I saw, like when I watched it, I saw like, oh, all the Marleys were there. I'm like, he's been vetted.
Yeah. All the Marleys were, you know, they all signed off on it. So it's like, so it's like, that's cool. But I was just kind of looking.
Is this the podcast?
Yeah. We in it.
Yeah. Honestly, we in it now.
I've been eating.
We yeah, in it. No. You've been eating chips.
Right? I've been eating chips.
Like, I've been
I
eating
know,
chips.
I thought I didn't know you. I, all right.
Well, I know we normally talk directly about the movie once we actually start, but it, mm-hmm. but just because we were on the subject, I felt like I needed to go into because it just was on my mind the whole time. You know, and every time somebody came out and I recognized them as being British, I was just like, no.
I'm gonna go ahead and just say once again, I don't care. Guys, let's be real. People have to be, I mean, we're not, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this nationality. It's got to be from the exact country of the, no.
And I don't know if I mean that either. I was just like, because I usually don't care that much, but it just, because this movie, I don't know. And also him being somebody who's about unity, he wouldn't care, right? Probably.
Exactly.
He certainly wouldn't care at all. And that's probably why the family doesn't care, et cetera, et cetera. But I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I liked everybody. I thought everybody did a great job. But I was also still kind of like, I don't know.
There has been a story tradition when it comes to like, in recent times, when it comes to a lot of these black figures, a lot of times these black figures are played by British black people. Why that is, I mean, I guess I don't necessarily have a preference anymore. I'm just like, it's getting the movie made,
talked
I guess.
About it. It's like, there's a perception that British actors are better than American actors, for one. Mm-hmm.
But also, so much of this takes place in London. And apparently, they just shot in London and Jamaica. Like, that's where they shot. So,
yeah.
Like, even when, like, it's, like some of the, like, random parts, I'd be like, I think that's a British guy just because of the stuff that I consume, you know? Like, it was like, oh, I feel like I recognize that guy from blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah. So there's also just that too, like where like, oh, we need day players, you know, we need somebody to be in a handful of scenes. They live down the block. We're going to cat and they're, you know, good and can, it can work, you know?
Right.
So there is that element of it too.
This actor has already played Malcolm X.
Right.
One night in Miami.
He's knocking him out. Hasn't he been Obama?
Yeah, he's like, well, he's our next. He's our next Chadwick, right? It's just like,
he is.
Right? Like, I'll just give me all of them. What you got? You know, hey, Frederick Douglass. Okay, yeah, sure. I'll pull him up. Okay. Bob Marley, one love.
Now how? No, hold on. Now that's just you. Just said the title. No, wait a minute. What's you that? Just really actually
good.
Said
that was really good.
I don't know if it's. I don't. Can oh, this, I was just does being this one hit, count?
Because he's like, you know, he's got the cards of all the great black, you know, historical figures. He's just like, give it to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Ben Carson, I'll do it. You know what I mean?
Listen, okay. he's doing great.
Bob Marley? Yeah,
well, I'm a fan. He's doing
he
great.
He is doing great.
That was honestly great.
He is doing great, and I am a fan.
That was great.
And don't like, give
normally
him this
I hate it when I don't you do
that. You know what?
But he just said the title.
Thank you so much.
This one's different. He just said the title.
Nah, James. Nah. It was in, honestly, normally, I'm it never a fan. Like,
yeah.
But that was good to me.
You know?
I'm like, hey, he did it. He did it.
And you know what? Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
One love. One heart. Let's get together and feel all right.
Sing it now.
What can we pay for that? Can we afford this? Skylar, cut this out. We can't afford this.
We probably definitely got too far.
No one's
listening.
Hey, you never know, man.
We show our cards too early at the beginning of the pod. No one's listening. Thank you for actually listening, but no one's. Those of you that can hear this, thank you for listening.
Oh my God.
Thank you for listening. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, welcome. This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. My name? You ask? Well, my name is Jonathan Braylock. It's the voice that sounds like...
Why did you laugh like that?
Just a nice, light skin, full of love, just trying to bring people together.
Nice
while,
light skin?
While
yo, what is happening, yo?
What?
I'm
just saying the fact.
I see. I understand what you're doing.
He's proud to be light skin.
I don't like that he's... But he's right because he's sort of making the connections to Bob Marley and talking about
he
know,
feels seen,
you know,
spiritual, connected with the people.
Oh, God.
You know,
this sucks. Oh my gosh!
Well, we have other people who are not filled with love.
We do have other people.
Those voices that you hear, who's those voices?
Oh God. Look, man, you just exhausted me with that opening. Lord have mercy. He said a nice light-skinned. I ain't heard that shit. He said a nice light-skinned. He's a nice light-skinned man. He said a nice light-skinned. I'm sorry. All right, I'm back. Okay. All right. I'm Gerard Milligan. I can't, bro.
And I'm James the Third.
A nice light-skinned.
And... I said more words after that.
You did. It's just the thing where thinking about it out of, we know the context. We've watched the movie. We know who we're talking about. But just thinking about it out of context, it was like, wow. And especially coming off of we just did
Passing
on
Patreon.
on the Patreon. Those of you that subscribe to the Patreon will know that connection.
$5 a month, you get bonus episodes every other week. Let's talk about Bob Marley One Love, guys. This movie just came out. It's in theaters now. And guess what?
Doing well? Good box
office. Number one at the box office.
Hey!
Number one at the box office. Mind you, Madam Web also came out. Mind you, Bob Marley One Love was released on Wednesday, Valentine's Day. Yeah. And Madam Web said bye-bye. Madam Web had nothing on this movie. This movie made $34 million in its Presidential Day weekend.
Well, hold up. That's great. That's really, really nice. Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible. So far, it's already grossed $52 million domestically, $81 million worldwide.
Oh, shit. Okay. Go ahead, One Love. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more obviously a testament to the love of Bob Marley, maybe than anything. But hey, it's doing well. Stars, as we've been talking about, Kingsley Benadire, who is a British man.
Great actor. Phenomenal actor. Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal actor. Lashana Lynch.
Yo, she's been crushing it.
Also a Brit.
Another phenomenal actor.
Mm-hmm. She was 007 in No Time to Die.
Oh, shout out to Tolson Cole. I don't know him, but I know he was in House Party. Tolson. He was in this. He was in this and was killing
also
it.
Also a
and
Brit.
Then, and then where's Judas at? There you go. Michael Ward was Judas in Book of Clarence. He been crushing it.
Oh, snap.
That's okay. Yes. I was like,
who was he in this?
He was the guy who shot him.
Why do I know? Yes.
Oh, he was the guy who shot him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because when he showed up again, as y'all know, because I missed the beginning of the movie.
Oh, my goodness.
When he showed up later, I was like, I know this man. Why do I know this man? And that was why.
There we go.
There it is.
Yeah, he did look familiar. I didn't put that together. This film currently has a 41% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn.
What?
That's critics.
What?
Critics.
What about audience?
93.
There it is. And that makes sense to me.
Yes.
I think actually both make sense to me. I'm just going to say that right now. I think
you did. Like, I am shocked.
I think both make sense. That's all I'm saying. I just think that both ratings make sense.
Okay. What else? There's nothing really else to say. This movie is doing well. Look, the critics not kind to it particularly.
Like, why? Let me read somebody's reviews.
Maybe that's a clue into why this movie was released in February and not released during, because it is like, mm-hmm. Biopics in general are usually up for Oscars or at least up for the award seasons. And I'll just go out and say it already. I think the performance is very, very, very good. So it is kind of surprising.
This subject matter specific, like I think this figure being the subject of this biopic makes a lot of sense for them to try to go for the Oscar.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
This the critic consensus on, you know how they like do a little summary. It says Kingsley Benadire does an admirable job in the central role, but Bob Marley One Love is ultimately a standard biopic that doesn't do justice to its brilliant subject. I mean, that's so
generic. Wait, what? Bohemian Rhapsody didn't touch on anything. Literally, we didn't talk about you know what it is?
So, and yes, that's true, but the movie that I kept
Bob Marley's not
of,
a drug addict. That's why this movie ain't do well, because Bob Marley was a black guy who actually gave a fuck about people. Sorry, go ahead. This fucking bullshit.
I was just going to say the movie I kept thinking of was Rocket Man, and I did compare them throughout the entire time. I'll say that. I mean, you named a movie that you definitely don't like. you referenced a movie you don't like and said, why did that movie do well? It's like, that movie sucked. Like, you just named a movie that
sucked. Yeah, because I don't give a shit. Like, it's a jukebox movie. Also, Rocket Man is a fucking superior. Rocket Man is a fantastic film. Rocket Man got no love.
Right.
Joel said, Terrence sang in that movie.
And all
bro.
We was looking for was one love with this one. We just needed one love, but this one just needed.
Bohemian Rhapsody did well at the Oscars. Critically, I just looked it up. It has a 60%. It is fresh, but it is at 60%, which is literally the lowest you could possibly be while being fresh.
Rocket Man, the other one?
No. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't like people didn't think it was like incredible, but I do think that I think you're right, Gerard, in the sense that they do typically like a more messy story. But we'll talk about it.
But
we'll
don't.
Let's just do it.
But they literally don't like that. Like, if you compare this movie, you compare Rocket Man, and you compare Bohemian, it proves that they don't care about integral art and what people's faults are. Like, that is the proof. But anyway,
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have, but it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aid, and I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in, like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling. And I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This movie was great. I'll go first. Fuck it. I love this movie. Made me want to go back to Jamaica. Like, it truly made me want to go back to Jamaica. I was like, oh man, they're in Strawberry Hill. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're filming this in GoldenEye. I also loved seeing black people. You know what it is? This is what I like. Being in Jamaica and being around Jamaicans, sometimes for me, it is hard to understand. And I love that in this movie, they didn't try to clear that shit up. Like, there was like,
no, that's true.
Like,
that is true.
That was they great. Made it, the accents were on point. I thought, like, you know, every come on, every ad lib, I was like, yo, this is how it feels if I'm talking to, like, Rachel's family. Like, sometimes Rachel's mom will talk to me and I'm like, Rach, I have no idea what's happening right now. You know what I mean? Also, again, I loved that this black man, bro, I cried in the theater. This black man literally gave everything for other people. I feel like now being in Hollywood, you meet so many people who care about themselves. Well, this guy was like doing art that was more important than himself. It's so much so that I remember hearing about that story about him forgiving the shooter. And I'm like, yo, come on, man. You won't forgive the guy who tried to kill you? Loved it.
That was crazy.
Fuck those reviewers. They probably were not black. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
I love how you're like, not a single one of those reviewers. That's probably true, though. as much as it's like maybe one of them wasn't, it's like they probably was all white.
Bro, crazy. Crazy.
You want me to go, Bray, or you want to go?
I can go.
Okay, all right. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I will say this. I like this movie. I understand maybe where some of the criticism is coming from. Ultimately, this movie to me was about the message and about the music. And I feel like it nailed those two things. And the music is so good and the message is so good that the other stuff that, like, some that, you know, I feel like maybe was lacking, like, a little bit more details and more like some of the extra stuff that was happening in his life that we kind of like really gloss over. It kind of doesn't really matter because that's not what the movie was about. And I respect that. I think that the performances at the end of the day are what make this movie. And I felt like both Kingsley Benadire, mm-hmm. and Lashana Lynch carried this film. And they were both so, so good. Every scene between them was so memorable and impactful. And like, it really made everything else kind of like, it just was, I don't know, it just like, that's what the movie was to me. And it is kind of a shame that maybe this movie wouldn't have been nominated for, like, it wouldn't have been nominated for Best Picture or whatever. But I don't know, it feels like, who knows though, maybe they push it, you know, in it. It's hard. I feel like movies never, you know what I mean? Like, if a movie comes out in February, I feel like it almost never is nominated for anything the next year. But maybe, because it's worth it. Like, I feel like it's worth taking a look at, because he just nailed it. And she did too. They both just nailed it. Yeah. So that's what I'll say.
Because they break up musical comedy and Golden Globes, at least, it's like Kingsley got to be up for actor in that category. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he definitely crushed it. Okay, so I'll just say, like I said that I like agree with the split, the critics split, and like, yeah, like I first of all, Kingsley absolutely crushed it. I was fully invested and connected to him And I thought that the movie like looked great, and the sort of weaving together of the music and everything I thought was fantastic. There was just some stuff that like felt like a little bit by rote when it comes to musical biopics. Like one point in particular is like, I felt like this same scene was in Ray, when it's like us Hit the Road Jack is playing while we also know that he's in a fight with Regina King, just like No Woman, Don't Cry is playing right when we know he's in a fight with his wife. It's like the same shit happens. These just happen in these movies all of the time.
But we got
to
see it.
In a way, I know, and we have to see it because it was happening, you know, but there was just some stuff like that. And I think I've said it already on the recording, but I missed the beginning of the movie and was like, is my connection to this not as strong because I missed some of that stuff? And I don't know. Part of me feels like it kind of feels a little bit more vignette-y than it felt like a full, complete story. But again, I missed the beginning, so it could be on that. But I don't think it. After hearing what happened in the beginning, I don't think that that's why. So I was feeling a little bit of that. And then the only other thing I'll say, and this is absolutely no disrespect to Kingsley, but my man is entirely too attractive. when they cut to actual Bob Marley at the end, why did they do this? And it was like, and this is no fault of his, because I was fully engrossed in him. And I had one moment of being like, he's so attractive, I can't remember what Bob Marley looked like.
Especially
and
they showed his shirts off.
Yeah.
I was like, was Bob Marley ripped like this?
And
then they showed him. My man is ripped.
I was thinking the same thing.
My man is jacked.
I was like, Bob was just jogging.
And I feel like they shot themselves in the foot. Right. They shot themselves in the foot by showing actually Bob at the end. Because it was like, I would have been just like looked at the movie as a movie.
I mean, you have to.
I know you have to, like, but it's like not when you missing the mark that much. And then James, even in the messiness of like how Bob danced, like he captured some of that, but Bob was this like just he was on another plane when he got
out his own
there.
Beat.
And so then I start to think about stuff like that, which again, no diss to Kingsley, because he truly did a great job. I was lost in him.
I don't know. I think you saying that he's too pretty is a diss.
No, it's so funny. No, James, like there were a couple longing shots and I was like, oh man, this movie has a beautiful silence at certain points, but it'd just be a lingering shot or two of just Ben Kingsley. And I'm like, yo, I remember thinking to myself, first off, I saw it and I was the only black person at the Grove. Like it was a theater full of white people. And I had two white women next to me. Like, well, they were like a seat over from me. And at the very beginning, he's like thinking, but it's just him and it's quiet. And I heard one of the girls go, I was like, yo, this dude is so handsome. I literally had to think, like, this dude is so handsome that he's forgot what Bob looked like. Like, yeah, James, until the end. So I see what you're saying. I was like, yo, this dude is too handsome. Bob was handsome as well, but this dude was
a mom. Start to go, yeah, that's right. Bob was, but this is now no disrespect to Bob, but there are features that Kingsley has that like someone that looks like Bob has to overcome. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like to look like Bob, it's like, and then to reach the heights that he reached, it's like, yeah, you got to give it up to that man for looking like that man looks, not for looking like Kingsley Benadire. Like, there's just, you know, there's an attractive privilege that Kingsley has that Bob I don't think had in the same way.
That's what you're saying.
Anyway,
yeah. I mean, like Bob, like, because, you know, like, to be clear, we're not saying Bob is ugly. Yeah
exactly. No. He's not.
Also, Bohemian Rhapsody.
He's not.
That man looks nothing like. Like, I'm sorry, dog. Like, they didn't even try it. Whatever. We just love, but like Bob, we just
was,
love
what
the
I'm
band.
Saying is like Bob was like messy. He was like earthy. He was like, there were times where I was looking at Kingsley's wig, and now I'm talking about other shit. But I was looking at Kingsley's wig, like, this ain't it.
It's a little too clean.
this ain't doing it. And I was like, is this in my head? Is this in my head that I care too much about this man's hair? Mm-hmm. And then they had a scene where his hair gets washed. And I was like, nope, his hair is very important. It's very important to who he is. It's so important that they're including this scene where we see his hair gets washed. And I was just like, this isn't there. There's just some stuff that's being missed.
James is a part of that critic review. James low key might be the only black dude on that critic review. Low key, James' whole review was like, listen, man, this nigga Locks ain't real. I don't believe
it. That's hilarious. Honestly.
I'm sorry because it's very picky stuff that I just said, but that's why I get, that's why I feel like I get the split.
You know
that's
what it all, is? I will say this, as a person with locks, I really like seeing, even though it was a wig, I felt very, like for instance, I took my hair out when I was watching the movie. I was like, oh man, I feel like I rarely see black men with locks who aren't evil. Like literally who aren't evil and to see him, to see his band, I was like, oh shit. Yeah. This was like in cultures, longer hair is seen as a prideful thing. And so I think I was okay with it. Like I knew it was a wig, but at certain points I'm like, look, that shit was glued on. It wasn't like no Tyler Perry wig. So I was like, that shit was on there, baby.
It's not like it like looked obviously fake. It was almost more like,
Remember Tyler Perry? I was like, yo, bro.
I was going to say, to be fair, like most of this movie is when Bob Marley is like living the high life. So maybe he was a little bit more, you know what I mean?
That's true. You know, they give this wig department credit because they really did do a great job. It does morph and it grows. And it gets, and so there is all of that. And also the attention to hair throughout the film, I thought was great, but it just, I think, also like watching this with the intent to review, I think I just started there would be moments where I would like hover around and like start looking at other shit, like what's in the background and all stuff like that.
Right.
I just had to message our producer, these bad wigs from Tyler Perry movies to let you know how good the wig is in this movie.
those are pretty bad.
These are terrible.
So, I mean, we can walk through it a bit. So, one of the things that's interesting about this movie and that isn't like most biopics, and we could maybe talk about whether you guys like that, but like this movie was very much like a very short part of Bob Marley's life.
I love movies like that.
It didn't do the whole, we're going to do like the part of his life, like basically right before he got shot to like he goes on this European tour. He's supposed to go to Africa, supposed to go to America, winds up coming back to Jamaica, and that's it. So it's like not that long, right? It's like a year?
Yeah. They did a good job. 2 years. It was like a year and a half or something like that. Yeah. It depends on how far into 78 they got, but it was predominantly 77 and 78.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it starts off by saying like Bob Marley, like, you know, hey, like we're starting off. Bob Marley is the biggest Jamaican music star ever. And we get there and he's like about to put on this concert because Jamaica is like on the brink of a civil war. There's these two warring political factions and warring gang leaders, and Bob Marley's wants to put on a free concert for peace and love, to promote peace and love, but it's controversial. I will say this, it was hard for me, I understood the like broad strokes of this, but it was, I didn't quite get what, like why this was controversial. You know what I mean? Like I didn't understand it.
He's getting political. And to me, I think the biggest example, I guess in our time is like, if I take a comedian, like if you look at like Kevin Hart, for instance, he talked about it on Trevor Noah's podcast, like he doesn't do political stuff. And I think the moment you step into that realm, people force you to pick a side. And it's like, I think the lady, the black woman interviewer goes, you have, I guess, one of the biggest drug lords right here in this room and the other one right there. Like, how do we not know you're like, you know, not side with one of these people? Because technically when he needs protection, he does go to one of them. So I think it was like, I don't know. I think it was one of those things of like, you know, we don't talk about politics. You don't want to get involved because it could be deadly for you and everybody else is what I assumed. But
I get
yeah, yeah, and also like, and this could be naive of me, but it feels to me that even with the pick a sideness of it, it was like you would definitely get shot for saying certain things at a certain before mm-hmm. a certain threshold, and then now in the days of social media, it's like it's still dangerous. People are still getting death threats, etc. I'm not trying to belittle that at all. But it's like more people are speaking out now than in the late 70s. You know, like back then it was like, yeah, somebody might roll up on you. Depending on the conflict, somebody might mm-hmm. roll up on you with a gun and try to shoot you for saying whatever it is you're gonna say. It, again, I missed this part of the movie, but that was the vibe that I got even throughout, like as it kept going and it was still a part of it, you know.
That I knew he had a death he had an assassination attempt. What I didn't know is that they shot his wife. Like,
and his friend.
Yeah, but I mean, he shot his wife at point blank range in the head, bro.
Point blank range. Yeah,
I'm like, I can't even imagine a person who like talks about one love, talks about like, you know, like trying to stop violence and have that kind of attack happen to like hit himself and his loved ones with his kids still in, you know what I'm saying? Like everybody was there, bro. Like, you know, the band, the kids upstairs. And I do find that impactful. And I think the thing that I'm like, even though I think they're probably like faults in this movie, I do think in comparison to other music biopics, and I'm trying my best not to go down the list of biopics, I do feel like this movie does a lot of things better than some of these movies that have been Oscar nominated or some of these performers who have been Oscar nominated. Like, again, I was worried about Ben's accent, but he just added certain things. I'm like, this is how it is. You know, everybody got their pet name. I got to hear Skip. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
But to the accent point, I think there was maybe like two times that I ever even heard a crack in like anybody's voice that I knew didn't have the accent that they were speaking. And even those times were so small. It was like I had to be looking for it in order to hear it, for me anyway. I thought they did a great job with the accents. Like, it felt super authentic.
Well, all right. I mean, I did too. I mean, also Letitia's from down there too. So she, like, I was like, I knew she was going to be on par.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she's been crushing it nonstop. Like, she's just been a monster, I feel like, in her last performances, like from The Woman King to Bond to this to her Marvel appearances. I'm like, she's just been, I don't know. It also had like a good amount of black up and comers too. Like, I know they were all Brits, but like, I like a lot of those guys. Like Michael Ward, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think that kid is good in every movie I've seen him in. And he's only like 25 or something like that. Maybe 26.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Maybe. What is it? Michael Ward. Incredible. Maybe 26. But anyway. Yeah, 26.
Wow.
Man, it was on Top Boy. I need to watch Top Boy. But after the death of the death attempt, he literally has to flee to London. And it's something that's so interesting. They grazed over two things in this movie. And those are things I don't know how I feel about it, but I kind of think I'm okay with it. Like, they skipped over like a lot of the racism he faced. We saw a little bit of it in London in that one scene when they were like leaving the, you know,
and it was a tough one.
Yeah.
It was weird because when they were leaving the rock concert, I thought the police were going to arrest them there. And then they didn't. And then they like walked away from that, and then they got arrested. I was like, "What the heck?"
Yeah, they were like able to very casually walk through that riot, and it was like they're walking.
I was
out.
Like, I was like, oh, the police don't care about them. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the very next scene, they get arrested for just existing, just standing. And I was like, wait, what?
But the casual nature with which they walk through, just there's a dozen cops.
It was so strange, dude. Yeah. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand what was happening.
That part was weird. And then also the cheating was weird. Because it was like,
yeah,
like, man. Oh, like, boy, oh boy, did they blow by that.
Yo,
so wait, like, and so that I feel like they blew by that. And I also feel like they blew by his friend kind of like cutting off the top, like taking extra money.
Right.
And but both of those things were, it was like, it was weird. I didn't know if I felt like they did this perfectly or if like they didn't do it enough, because it was like, well, I know something's going on, because you would feel like something was going on before it was addressed, like before it was talked about. Mm-hmm. But then when we heard it talked about, it was like when the shit hit the fan, you know, it was like we heard it talked about at the point where they were fighting most, you know, like,
it was
when potentially the relationship could end because of the cheating. That's when we heard about it, you know. When he beats the crap out of his friend, that's when we hear that his friend is actually skimming off the you know what I mean? It's just like this weird, and I wasn't sure if that was like great or,
I think the thing that's weird about it is like, it almost made me go like, well, if you're not going to explore it, like why even put it in here? You know what I mean? Because it was like, we had the shot of this beautiful woman who was like looking at him in a certain way. We never saw this woman before. And it was like, uh-oh.
Waiting for him.
You know, and it was like, okay, so this is a woman who's he's going to be cheating with. But then we don't see them ever again, really. And then we see her maybe like one other time.
She's there the whole time. She's in the recording, but then she like walks to his bedroom door at one point and the door opens and we cut away instantly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so we don't like really.
A
montage. And we don't really see it, and then it's like not really talked about, and like that woman and the wife don't ever have like an argument, and like, but then when he has an argument with his wife because he sees her talking to another guy and gets jealous, then that's when she's like, I've been raising all these kids, you know, and then you're like, oh, and like, and I guess this is a wide known fact about Bob Marley. But like he had several kids with other women, and this was all before they went to London, and she's helped raise them. So it was like, all that stuff, I was just kind of like, wait, so what is the arrangement here? Like, what agreement did you guys come to?
And then you found out she had a dude. You found like, he was like, I know about your guy. Right. I was like, oh shit. I was like, she got a guy too? I was like, yo. I almost could have watched a movie just on their relationship, to be honest. Like,
I was feeling some of this. Like, it was like the movie is a solid hour 47, which is like that's
enough, you know, for sure.
It's rare that I feel this way, but I was like, I could have used 15 more minutes. Like, it was like I could have used talking about some of these things.
I think we could have gotten a little more. And there's also some scenes. Well, like I said it before, like the music, we got a lot of music scenes, and we got a lot of scenes like with the music that went on like a little bit longer. And it was kind of because to me, the movie was like, at the end of the day, guys, you want to hear the music. And I'm, to be honest, I'm like, yeah, I do.
And
also, like some of those concerts, I was like, if you lasted a little bit longer, I would have been cool with it. You know, these concerts were a little bit longer, I think I would have been okay. If we heard a little bit more of some of these songs, I would not have minded. And I think about the like Bohemian Rhapsody, like doesn't that movie end with like 20 minutes of like just the straight concert?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a full concert.
It's the full concert.
Yeah, so it's kind of just like I'm kind of just like, great, like that's cool, Bob Marley too, but what we lose out on because of that is, I think, you know, James, you had said this felt somewhat vignette-y, and like it does feel a little bit like that, because there's not like there's not a huge driving force, like plot there's not like a, you know, he like goes away, but then it's kind of like we stop talking about what's happening in Jamaica and we're just like and doing this tour. Mm-hmm. And then it's more about like him just wanting to do this tour in Africa, you know, which did that ever happen?
It does happen. He does place. I don't know if they said he did the full tour, but at the end they say he does make it to Africa. And some of the clips that they show at the end is him performing in Africa. I don't know if he does the full thing that he wanted to do because we're probably nearing the time of his death anyway, but he does make it there.
It seems like what did they say? He died in
81. He dies in 81.
So it's like a couple more years.
Right, but I don't know when Africa was.
Yeah, 36. That's the other thing, man.
36.
All like these, when you heard like Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, like all these people died so young. I just like think about like, oh my goodness, like this person lived so much life.
Right.
By the time they were their 30s.
They accomplished so much.
I was like, what am I doing?
The moment I heard 36, I was like, bro, what have I done? Like, this is crazy. I've done nothing.
Dude.
Hold on. Wait a minute. We can't all be Bob Marley and Martin Luther.
I know. It's true. I know.
In fact, most people aren't those people.
I wasn't the nigga in the band, James.
Those people.
I wasn't the man in the band.
Gerard
will actually say, if you looked back at your entire career, you were the man in the band for somebody. There's at least one person, and I would actually argue there's probably several more people that you would go, shit, I was in the band for this.
Great.
Late 79. Zimbabwe.
Yes, producer Skylar. So it seems like he performed a few places. Where are these? Zimbabwe,
Nairobi in April of 1980. Okay, yeah. So the movie still stopped at around 78, but then the rest of the kind of clips.
So later
were
on,
the rest
he got to
his,
do it.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it. He didn't do it on that first tour that he wanted to do.
And this is just a complete sidebar. But another thing that felt very like a cliche. Biopic movie to me was like the couple times that we just saw someone be like, you gotta go to the doctor. You know, it was like, let's make sure we show that people told him to go to the doctor. You know, like it just felt like a thing that would have been in the, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, totally.
I mean, I'm sure people told him to go to the doctor, but just somehow the way that it was presented in the movie, it just felt like they were like, "And let's make sure we have the scene where this happens," you know. And it happened maybe three or four times. I don't know. It just felt like a movie instead of feeling like I was.
I think they had to. I don't know. I think you're right. Whereas, like, I wouldn't say it's like vignettes, but it's just like we're just showing this one point. They didn't want to show the cancer. It was like, we're just trying to show how he went from getting shot to like coming back. And because again, that one love performance at the end, which is crazy because, look, I will compare it to Bohemian Rhapsody. It's like Bohemian Rhapsody clearly spent so much money and time on that final performance, right? And I mean, because we remember that was the comeback. Like that performance was their comeback. Whereas this, I'm like, this performance of Bob was the historic one. And almost I wish we saw more of that to show the scope of I think you could have done something where maybe you, if you didn't have the money like Bohemian did, instead of like having like the whole CGI scene, like maybe you can cut the different households around the world who were like watching it. Cause it was a big, like, you know what I mean? It was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Or papers printing about it or something. Also, I don't know if we noticed this, but Plan B made this movie and Brad Pitt is out here funding all these black movies, yo. Like, there's been a couple times I see a black movie and it's like Plan B.
Like,
he has, yo. Like, I'm like, God damn, Brad. Thank you. But I'm just like, okay, Brad. Brad trying to come to a cookout.
To your point, Gerard, and this probably, you might not be able to find much stuff like this anyway, but like, they showed like, you know, clips of actual clips of Bob Marley. But like, what would have been cool to see actual home video of people. Like, I mean, but again, it's like, who at this time has a home video camera? Like, how many people actually had one in the late 70s? I don't know. Yeah, maybe sure. A lot, maybe not that many, you know. But like, had they been able to find real home video of people watching that would have been great. Watching the actual broadcast, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, I'm right. Like, because it's such a big deal. I mean, again, but it's hard for me, but I also love the movie. Also, I know, like, this movie didn't have $150 million budget, you know, but I think they did really well. I thought their concerts looked very well. Like, I think, like, you know, in comparison, when you watch the Whitney Houston one, I think they both had the same budget, but like the directing was different.
This blows,
like,
Whitney Houston out the water.
And I think the budget was...
We're just comparing biopics.
This budget was 70. Right?
Wikipedia says 70 million.
Yeah. Okay, that was and more. Then, wasn't Whitney like 50? Or
no, I 40? Think...
40?
No, 45.
Okay, that is a big difference. Wait, they gave Whitney Houston 45 million for her biopic? How fucking dare they?
Man, I gotta say, just talking about that again, I'm like, that was a forgettable biopic.
I can't tell you a single thing that happened in it. But as we're talking about it right now, what I do remember is how good the main actor was. She was great. There was literally times, I'm just repeating something I've already said on the podcast, but where she would walk across screen and it looked like I was looking at Whitney Houston walk across the screen. She was that good. She was fantastic. She was so good.
Yeah. I do want to give a shout out to Ronaldo Green, the director of this movie, because I do think he did a really good job. I think some of the shots he picked, one of the most heartbreaking shots to me was, you know, when Bob comes out at the beginning and we have this shot of, you know, Letitia like kind of hunched over the steering wheel after she was shot. And you just see him like in the background, but collapse kind of faded out and those like longing shots. I thought the way he directed this was great. He also did.
Sorry, you keep saying Letitia. You mean Lashana, right?
Lashana. Oh, okay. My goodness.
Just making sure.
Yeah, Lashana. Sorry. Sure. Thank
for
you.
For the correction.
Thank you. Lashana. Yes. But also, this director did King Richard.
That's a different British black woman.
It is. Good goodness.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He did King Richard and Monsters and Men. And I don't know, man. I just thought he did a really good job. I thought how he handled, like, some of the performances were good.
Yeah. The flashbacks, I was confused as to what that flashback that we kept seeing was of him as a child running out of the burning crops with, I presume, was his father riding on horseback coming up to him. Yeah. What was that about?
So I missed the very beginning. Right. And so I was like, I kept being like, I'm sure this actually connects to something in the beginning. Okay, good.
No, I don't think so.
So
man.
No, it's the same thing. You saw the same thing we saw again, because they just showed it again and again. Nothing changed about it.
We didn't see anything new. That it was his biological father.
The white dad, but it wasn't,
then,
though, right?
But then who it is revealed, right. But then who it's revealed to be is, you know, the... whoever it is that his surrogate, like, you know, because the thing that he's handed is the same ring that he's gifted by, I can't remember, I'm going to say the wrong country, so I'm just not going to say it out loud, but, you know, and so it was like, right, like he was, his dark past or his, you know, childhood that is lost to him is gone. And, you know, the Rastafari movement brought him out, you know, and showed him who he was, the lion that he would grow up to be. That was how that's my very kind of watered down
that makes
description
sense.
I of what it felt like that was supposed to mean. You know, yeah, and especially because it seemed like they wanted us to think it was the dad who we never actually see his face. We see his face in a black and white photo, you know, but we never actually see his face in the flashback.
Which also was a very striking choice of
Yes. And I will say, as somebody who without a dad growing up, a shadowy dad figure, I identify with that shit. I connect to that stuff very much.
It's interesting though, because now I'm reading that his father died when he was 10. Mm-hmm. And it does say that he didn't have much of a relationship with his dad, but it's saying that the reason was because his father was away often for work to provide financial support.
But not that his dad like disowned him because he was black.
He's not my yeah.
Well, but that guy said, you know, whoever it is that actually hands him the thing at the end says, "I am your father." Do they mean not to misquote Star Wars, but do they mean his biological father? Or do they mean did he have a stepdad?
I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell. Was he adopted at a certain point? I don't know. Or not adopted, but if his mom remarried, or I couldn't tell that part. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting. Only one known photo exists of Norval. That's his dad's name. A black and white image that shows him riding a horse while wearing a button-down shirt, tie, and hat. So that's why they kept using that image, I guess. It's the only known picture of him. Interesting. Very little is known about him. He died of a heart attack in 1957. Anyway, so maybe there wasn't much there to do, and they were just like, "Hey, we're not going to try to speculate." But that makes sense, James. I don't know. There was a part of me that was like, I don't know. Like, I would have liked to see just a little bit more. I felt like we kept getting these like very, very, very brief flashbacks. Mm. But because they came at, like, to me, seemingly strange times, and they were, like, all disconnected, like, the movie definitely left me wanting more, I wanting to know more about Bob Marley's life. That same. I feel like I was hoping to get a little bit more insight, and I felt like I didn't. I got these terrific performances and maybe like a little bit of a glimpse between their marriage, but like not even that much. And it was more kind of just like appreciating, honestly, the stuff that we are already kind of knew, which I guess is fine. But I mean, like, I don't know. I felt, yeah.
Something that this did for me and this, but the music potentially says, this potentially says more about what I have consumed in my life than what it does say about like Hollywood at large, but like the kind of very authentic portrayal of Rastafarian life and that and the movement.
Yes.
I loved that.
I love that.
I feel like my only connection to it before now, outside of like, you know, hearing some songs and you know, seeing a couple images, is like through lampooning and parody and jokes, like, you know, and so seeing like this very real portrayal and you know, and like, and what is important about it to the member, like, I really appreciated that.
I did too. Know what it is? I understand the need for more backstories. I think the movie that does it best is Ray. Like, Ray sprinkles in the backstory of, like, his mom and, like, how he became kind of strong in a certain kind of way. So I do wish it kind of had more of a point in that way. Or it was more, like, instead of, like, this was very symbolic. I was like, I almost needed it to be, like, at least for me, spelled out a little bit. But I kind of liked not, like, I feel like a lot of biopics just do the, like, hey, my family's abusive. I was getting cheated on, or, like, I was a cheater. Like, I was happy we kind of didn't sprinkle on that. Cause I'm like, I just want to know like what he was dealing with at his height. I was like, when you were like the famous dude, what the fuck was happening? I do think you probably did want to hear at least something about the cheating and even what his mom was going through, but also his kids were the ones that were doing this movie. And I'm like, you ain't about to, there is no way, Ziggy. There's no way they was letting that shit go down. There was like, you ain't about to hand a movie about like my dad cheating on my mom. There's no way.
And I'll say, I just watched MJ the musical that was on Broadway and is now touring.
Baby, I saw it. You saw it? It was good.
First of all, I had a great time. Okay, but
freaking fantastic.
You know, it has the similar kind of vibe. You know, it's supported by the family, And they're like, you know, there's like a line where it's like, what's this family you want to bring on the tour? And they're like, you know, talking about like the things that are being said in the media, you know, and we hear Michael sort of saying a couple times, like, it's not true, you know, but like, it's these, it's that show was about like, let's listen to these songs and have a good time and however much money we can make. Let's make the money, you know? That was the point of that show.
Yeah, even though that show didn't play one of the greatest Michael songs, Dirty Diana.
Okay, I was waiting for that too. Apparently they play the music of Dirty Diana, but they don't play the song.
Yeah, they do, they do.
Anyway, I bring that up to say...
He has too many hits.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, they were like, we know we have to mention this, but we're not going to spend any time on it. You know, let's spend time on this other thing, you know, and I think it does have to do with like, it's like, I'm so glad that we got the family's blessing, but like a historian would have probably digged into this a little bit more, you know, somebody who was like really trying to like get underneath something would have tried to dig into it just a little bit more than they did.
I get that. I mean, again, thinking about this movie and hearing honestly the points you and Bray have made about this movie, it is now making me a little nervous for the Michael Jackson biopic because the family's behind that. Like, not only is the family behind it, family's playing Michael.
It's going to be
And I'm
the
like,
same.
Are we not going to address Joe? Are we not? Is Joe? Like,
they will.
Listen.
No, the thing is, they will address Joe. They addressed Joe in the show. Like, the thing that they have all agreed on, it's like,
is that
they were like, fuck Joe. With it's like, dad was bad to us, you know? So they're going to make sure they highlight Joe.
We can all
Joe
agree on that.
But they're not going to, you know, any of Michael's transgressions, you know, there or alleged, I'll no, say yeah, alleged yeah. to be respectful right, to right. the law, I guess. But
yeah, there's alleged, bro.
But they're
it's
not going to, you know, explore that any harder than you would think they would, you know?
Right.
Listen, I get it.
Right. Like, will they even have it at all? You know, to me also a lot of that stuff happened. I mean, I don't know how far they're going to do, but some biopics are like this one where it's like you stop it at a certain year and you don't need to go into the later years. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and the, I guess, but they'll have to address his changing of his appearance.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right. And
I mean,
so
they got to.
That's
they probably,
something too.
I mean, they. I mean, I bruh, I'm nervous. But even now, thinking about this, I don't know if you guys had it, but we had the Back to Black, Amy Winehouse trailer before when I saw it, and it's interesting because even thinking about us talking about Bob and not showing the cheating or like his mom's life and kind of you know glancing over things. The same thing happened in Bohemian Rhapsody, but also with Amy Winehouse in particular, there was a famous documentary that came out about kind of the stuff that was going on, and it kind of shined a light to her dad and her boyfriend. But if you watch that trailer, her dad looks like her dad's hugging her when she's crying. Her dad is like in most of the trailer. And then you found out, I Googled it actually when I left the theater, the dad helped produce the movie. And I'm like, man, I can't tell how to get
you
the
know,
honesty
straight
out
we
of
We talked
these
about
things,
this with
know?
Straight Outta Compton, but like it's like you know the winners write history, you know, like it's just we're not gonna see any of these people if the people that are steering the ship are people that don't want their names dragged, they're gonna just make sure that their names aren't dragged or whatever, you know.
Rocket Man, he did it. Like it literally is about his addictions. Like they did the thing anyway.
But I think that the difference probably is that Elton isn't he himself
true.
Is like
yes, very true.
That's fine. Like let's talk about this.
Yeah, like he feels like a figure that would be like I have done this is what I've done that I'm not proud of, and I'm sharing it because I don't want you to make the same mistakes as me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's the intention behind it. And it becomes like a noble thing to do that also. Not that I'm saying that he's only doing it so that he can go down in history. Because
he was involved, right? He was involved in that.
Yeah,
movie.
He was. Yeah. He was there the whole time.
Yeah.
Like he was there. They sang the songs.
It's like
together.
You have to have an honest person,
right?
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, you got to have somebody who's open, willing to be vulnerable about that stuff, but also can't do. I mean, like in the case of like Michael Jackson, like you're not gonna nobody's. Gonna.
And it's about story too. I think it does at the end of the day come down to story. It's like it's one thing to say I had my faults. I got really bad into drugs. I am overcoming that. It's another thing to say, yeah, we enabled my brother sleeping with, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we'll put the line, what's this family you want to bring on the tour? We'll put that in because, oh my goodness, Michael always doing shit. But will we get into it any more than that? No, we won't.
I never watched that documentary. All right. I feel like we're going off the rails. Did you guys watch that?
I never watched that
documentary. Which one?
That's the thing. It's so hard. The documentary about Michael Jackson and
his, I did.
You did watch it.
Okay.
And does it?
And is it pretty like convincing that?
Yeah.
Literally, I watched that. You know what it is? That doc, I think I was always iffy. Until I saw that doc, and I was like, it's hard for me to say on a podcast. I'm like, I saw the doc, and that doc changed my mind. Like, because I was you don't know. He was doing weird shit. But I'm like, nah, something feels weird. I think he was a weird dude, but I'm like, I don't know if this man.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he certainly was the one thing we all agree on. Michael Jackson was a weird dude. That's one thing we can all agree on.
That's a weird dude.
And I think we could also agree he had inappropriate relationships.
Absolutely.
I think
completely.
Yeah. Because it's like, at the end of the day, even if you want to defend Michael Jackson.
White in the bed.
Which you
White
probably
in the bed, cuz. What?
Exactly. It's just like no. At best, it's like severely inappropriate.
At best, we are not on board with what you're doing.
Sir, you are a grown man. I don't care what your mind is like. You are a grown man, and you cannot be having sleepovers with children.
No.
Anyway, wow, what a world we went. Okay,
I couldn't help.
Guys,
I'm sorry. I brought it up, but I couldn't help but think of the connections to the stage show. Just to say why we went on that tirade. I couldn't help but think of those connections because it is just that thing where it's like sometimes you need somebody not connected to it to tell a more well-rounded picture. That's all. That's all I was trying to say.
I will say this movie does not feel that long. And by the time when it came to an end, I was like, oh man, it's over. I think mostly because I want to see more of that concert. Cause I feel like they were like, and now we're here at the concert, and they were like, end of the movie. And I was like, wait. Yeah.
I wanted to see him sing One Love, which we don't get, right?
I know, I wanted that.
What I was really looking forward to.
It felt rude. It honestly felt a little bit, I was like, a little bit of blue balls here. I know they play the song during the credits, but I was like, I wanted to see
Bob Marley, the Bob Marley that I've been watching for almost two hours perform that song. That's what I want. That's the name of the movie. The movie's namesake. I want to see it. Yeah.
Rastafari. But anyway, anything else to say? I feel like we've covered it.
I think that's it.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great time. I know that I said that I understand the negative criticisms, but I did have a great time and thought everybody did a great job. So,
same. I think it was great.
Well, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helped the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. So if it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the count of three, we'll rate our reviews, ratings for this film. Ready?
You know what it's getting for me. I ain't even got to do it, bro.
One.
You know it is. Come on now.
Two.
Come on.
And a three.
Brady, you made me do it. I guess I had to do it. Four fists.
All right.
I'm counting James
fists.
Double fist.
I put up two. Thank you.
It's just the three.
I'm counting James double because it needs it because people need to go out there and watch this movie. Because it's so good. I think it's still so good. I think, yes, it's false, but it's like, I don't know, man. I just like seeing Black people on film not suffering because of their skin color. Like, I just really enjoy watching that. And I'm like, I want to see more of that. Like, at one point she goes, hey, don't let what they did to you affect losing that part of yourself. And I'm like, bro, and to me, that is the thing with art is like, yes, as Black people, we suffer through so much because of our skin color. And that's the thing that is because of the world we were born into. But like, there's still so much more. Like he literally still had love and could write a love song, and they tried to kill him and his wife, bro. So I'm always going to champion a movie like this. So
yeah, that was a great line. Thank you for reminding.
One of the other great lines is, like we see him forgive his shooter, and then he's singing redemption song on the guitar, and his wife is like, "When did you write that?" And he's like, "Oh my god,
yeah,
life.
That was ready? That means you ready." I was like, "No,"
and she was was choking up when she said it.
I have to say though, those men in Jamaica were like, we will make sure nobody comes near you. And then the first thing that happens when he get in his house is the dude that tried to assassinate him just walks in
the house.
Walks in. I was like, wait a minute. y'all did Dog. Not do your job. You didn't do your job. If this man, why is he in my house? He just walks in. I couldn't believe it.
Did they never, like, who was that guy? Who was he a part? Like, who sent them there? Did we ever find that out?
We never, I don't know. Because I couldn't tell what, I couldn't tell. Wow.
Anyway.
Black Fist good for point, me too. James. Fantastic. Fantastic. I had a great time. I thought everybody did a great job. And honestly, I'll just say, for the faults that I have been leaning into, it almost has more to do with, like, Bob Marley was just super interesting. And how do you condense that into 1:45 or whatever, however long the movie was. You know, you just can't. It's too much. You can't tell this entire man's story, you know, in that time frame. And that's all that really comes down to.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. And I gave it a fist because these actors were incredible. I hope next year, I don't know, maybe it'll get re-released for a little bit so that these actors can be up for some awards, because honestly, they deserve it. You know, and look, even if people didn't like the film as a whole, I mean, how many times are actors in films that are not that great up for Academy Awards?
Most times. Like,
all the time.
How long have the Academy Awards been going on? That long. Yeah. That's not many. That's how long that's been happening.
So, thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links there to our Patreon and Red Circle, where we have exclusive bonus episodes every other week. We come out with a new episode. We just did Passing. We reviewed American Fiction. We did our year in a review. So yeah, click on that. There's a bunch of episodes on there already, and you'll continue to get access. And this also helps keep this podcast free. So if you can, please support. Also, every month, a third Friday of every month, at least for March, we perform at UCB LA. So the next one will be March 15th, I believe, 10 p.m., Black at the Movies. It's our improv show. It's a fun time.
Birthday
so
weekend, baby.
LA, come out.
I was just about to say, that's Gerard's birthday show.
Man, it's birthday weekend, Ayo. Baby. All right.
So we got to get that audience packed. Right,
I said I wasn't going to do the show, but I'm going to do the show. And I got to do the
there we
birthday
go.
Show.
Come on, man. That's a birthday show, baby.
Birthday show.
That's a birthday show. I didn't realize that's what the day was, but like, all right, birthday show, baby. Got to get a guest. All right, I'm going to look into that. Get Power Ranger.
All right.
I get a Power Ranger to show up.
You can follow me at John Braylock. Where you guys?
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
That's okay. I was about to say the wrong handle anyway. I'm not James Third Comedy anymore. It's Rule of Three, Inc. Three is the number three. Right. Please buy my comics. Junior Issue 2 is going to be coming to Kickstarter next month. So please follow me to give me some money. I need your money. I can't do it without you.
I respect it, bro. I can't do it without you. I respect it, bro.
And we don't have any new reviews, but if you rate and review us 5 stars on iTunes, we'll read your review on the air. So please do that. Okay? So that's it. That's it for me. Anything else? We good?
We good.
No, that's it.
All right. Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!